Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Gore and Guilty podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Georgia.
And today we're talking through a case that I have no idea about because Georgia strictly forbade me from Googling.
I did.
Georgia, what are we talking through?
We are going to be talking about Charles Joseph Glinowitz, and he goes by the name of Joe, or nicknamed G.I. Joe. I've told Greg not to Google it because it will, like, spoil some of it, maybe? So, but yeah, I feel like I'm not going to reveal too much, actually. We're just going to go in blind.
Okay. G.I. Joe is the name of, like, a children's action figure, right?
Yes, yeah, like, kind of like Action Man sort of thing. G.I. Joe.
Action Man.
Rambo. That's the one.
Nice. Okay, cool. I'm very intrigued by that interesting sounding nickname.
Yeah. It's a slightly different style case as well to what we usually do.
Okay. Does a crime take place, Georgia? Because I don't want us to disappoint our listeners.
Yes, they sure do. Yes, absolutely.
Intriguing. We should be good then. But before we get to the crime, how are you doing? How's life treating you?
Yeah, I'm good. What have I been up to? I went and saw Spider-Man 3 in the cinema on the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Which I don't know if any of you guys like Marvel and all of that kind of stuff, but it was amazing. I would probably go out and say that it's one of the best Marvel movies I've seen. It was so good. Super good. So
wow, that's high praise. Mm. High praise.
If anyone's a Spider-Man fan, yeah, you've got to go and watch it. It's just so good. But yeah. Other than that, though, I haven't really been doing very much this week. Just been busy with uni. Same old sort of thing.
Nice. Did I tell you, the last time I went to a cinema, the power actually went off in the middle?
No. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was probably a month ago now. And not exactly a month ago, because that's Christmas Day. But just before Christmas, and I was watching, is it June?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. I'm not a massive film lover anyway, which is probably absolutely horrific news to a lot of film buffs out there.
Yeah.
But I thought, I got some free tickets, so I thought, okay, I'll go along. And yeah, about 2/3 of the way in, the power just went off and they couldn't get it back on.
What? So you just didn't, did you see the end of the movie?
No. I still don't know. I still don't know what happened.
No.
I'm like curious about what happened, of course, but I also wasn't so curious that I wanted to go and sit through the first half again.
I mean, I've watched Dune and that is a long movie. I've never heard this happen before. They just left it at that.
Yeah, there was a power cut in Cardiff and they couldn't get it back on.
Oh my gosh. Did they reimburse tickets or something? Or did, like, just... No?
Well, they said they would, but my ticket was free anyway. So when I was leaving, I could see this massive queue forming. And I was just like, you know what? I can't be bothered.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just one of those people. It's like, time over money. And I was just like, fuck it. I'm not going to stand in the line and listen to grumpy customers.
My time is valuable. Wow. Oh my gosh. No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, well, that's a nice little story. A nice little story for you and the listeners.
How have you been this week? Got any updates?
No major update, just that I am very cold all the time because it's January in Wales.
Isn't it? It's so cold this week, right?
So
I know
cold,
we moan about the weather, but it is being particularly cold this week.
I don't have a woolly hat either. And then I tried to buy a cool hat, but I don't think I can pull it off, so...
Of course you can! Do you worry that you might look like an egg with, like, a little toasty on it? Toasty hat, you know?
I do now!
Because that's what I worry about when I wear a hat.
But yeah, no, other than that, I'm all good. You said we had a question.
Yes, we've got a question from... So Greg, earlier today... posted on our Instagram an opportunity for you guys to ask us questions, so we thought we'd take this opportunity to answer some of them here. So I picked one of them out, and it's a pretty cool one actually. So it is, Do you believe in aliens and have you ever seen one? Do you want to go first and answer that question?
Yeah, mine's kind of short, to be fair, because I've never seen an alien, I don't think. Mm. There was one time when I was walking to a friend's house when I lived in Swansea with a group of people, and we thought we saw a UFO, and we were all stood for about like a minute just staring at the sky like, oh my God, and like taking photos. And then we realised that it was just a crane with a light on it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's so disappointing. I bet you guys thought like, oh, this is it. We've heard the stories. We're having our own experience here. And then, oh, no, it's just the crane.
Yeah, we felt like idiots when we realised that. No, it was good. But I do believe in aliens, yeah, because I think it's crazy that... It would be crazy, sorry, if there's all this space and no one else out there. I think that's even more scary. How about you?
Yeah, same. Yeah, I've never seen an alien. And it'd be quite cool, if not... like slightly creepy. And I guess, yeah, that I know of, I don't know, because maybe they zap your memories away. But yeah, I definitely believe in aliens. I think that, yeah, like you said, it'd be stupid not to. And because the universe is huge and they are like providing more and more information about the unknown. Have you heard that theory where we're basically the equivalent of a snail on a motorway? You're driving past on the motorway and you pass a snail and the snail's so small and insignificant you don't even take a glance. That's what I feel like extraterrestrials are like, where they probably don't even want to look at Earth because we're just so underdeveloped to maybe what they are. Like, we're so insignificant.
Ah, that's cool. I haven't heard that theory before, but I like it.
Yeah, or they've looked at Earth and gone, huh, not a chance am I going to go visit there. See ya.
That's cool. That's a cool analogy. No. Maybe they're just looking at us like we're barbaric.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe we should do an alien episode in the future because we kind of did touch on it with the black-eyed children, but that was only like one part of that theory.
Yeah. I reckon we should. We should do like an extraterrestrial or UFO spotted sightings and things like that. Yeah, I think that'd be quite cool and spooky.
For now though, shall we talk about G.I. Joe?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Nice.
So, as I said before, we're going to be talking about Charles Joseph, G.I. Joe, Glinowitz. And he goes by Joe. He is a lieutenant in the police force in Illinois. At 7:52 a.m. on the 1st of September 2015, 52-year-old Lieutenant Joseph radioed dispatch to inform them that he was pursuing three individuals into a wooded area in Fox Lake and he needed backup. The only description Joe gave was there was one black man and two white men. At 8:09 a.m., the officers arrived and heard a gunshot. It took them 4 to 6 minutes to find Joe, who was lying face down in the marsh. He had been shot twice. He was only 50 yards from his vehicle, and the gun which was used was his own, a .40 calibre semi-automatic handgun.
Wait, that's already quite an intriguing start. So he's been shot with his own gun after pursuing a group of three people.
Yeah.
So G.I. Joe, in this case, is our murder victim.
Yes, exactly. G.I. Joe is the person that's died in this case. Although he was shot with his own weapon, it took the police officers 3 hours to discover it, even though it was only 3 feet away from Joe's body. The first shot hit him in his phone and his bulletproof vest, and the second shot hit him in the upper chest. He had visible head injuries. His police baton, his pepper spray, and his glasses were all found littered on the floor. After this, a manhunt was launched to find the three individuals that did this to Joe. The search included 400 officers, helicopters, drones, and horses. It was the largest manhunt Lake County had ever witnessed. The wood and the wetlands were searched to piece together what happened. This occurred in the Chicago suburbs where it approaches Wisconsin. The area is well known to police as Al Capone lived nearby, and it was also known that he would leave bodies in the village and the waters of Lake Fox Lake. So it's already had some history because of Al Capone that lived there.
This is already shaping up to be quite a bizarre case in terms of the details, because it sounds like there was only minutes before backup arrived, and yet all these things have managed to happen. Like, he's managed to get all his like pepper spray and his baton out, or maybe not got them out, but
it's all like splayed around him.
Interesting. And this place has a history.
Yes, exactly. The next evening, on the 2nd of September, Kirsten Kiefer, who was 30 years old and from Vernon Hills, Illinois, called the police. She told them that when she pulled over in her car in the Volo area, that two men, one black and one white, overpowered her and stole her car. She ran away on foot. The police acted quickly. They set up roadblocks in the area, around 100 law enforcement officers, 3 air units, and 11 canine units were involved in this search. The canines tracked a scent. This led the officers through the dense Volo Blog State natural area. However, the scent was of a deer, not a person.
Oh dear.
Yeah, which is just, that's upsetting that they were following this, like, we're close, yeah. But no, it's just a deer. Finally, it was revealed that Kirsten completely made up the story.
Wait, what?
There was no attempted car, Grand Theft Auto. She just made it up the night after what happened to Joe.
Why did she do that? For, like, fame? To try and get involved in the case?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, you hear cases where people do come forward with false witness statements or involvements. And this was the biggest manhunt that, or search, that this place, this Lake County, had ever witnessed. So maybe she was just one of those people that wanted to get involved, I suppose. She did get her comeuppance, really, so she was charged with 2 counts of disorderly conduct for falsifying a police report. In May 2017, she was convicted and put on probation and made to pay $20,000 in restitution.
Wow, that's an expensive false claim.
Yeah, you might want to think twice before doing something like that. There were many reports of people that had spotted these 3 men. However, it never came to anything.
So it was always the same description of 2 white men and 1 black man, but never really any more than that.
Exactly. And that's what Joe had said to the police officers on the radio when he described them and said that he needed backup. He didn't really go into much detail other than that. So that's all they had really to go off.
Did Joe explain why he was chasing them?
All it was that he called and needed backup.
Interesting.
And that he was pursuing these men. In the evening of the 2nd of September, so the day after Joe died, there was a vigil for him at the Lakefront Park in Fox Lake. Many gathered to pay their respects, and his wife and son spoke. The following day, the Chicago Bears played tribute to the fallen police officer at a preseason game. On the 7th of September, Joe's funeral was huge. Thousands of police officers from all over the country travelled to Illinois to attend. This small-town police officer was a hero, and he died on duty. There were many that were angry at this situation and blamed the war on cops to have contributed to his death.
I am starting to get a feeling that not everything is as it seems.
I was waiting for you to do this. I was waiting. I wonder how long it is that Greg's going to get suspicious.
I feel like this is going to be one of those cases. Shall I even say my theory? Or shall I? Yeah. Mm.
Go on. I want to see what you're going to say.
But if I'm right, then it's going to look like I know the case, but I really don't. So
I know you
hopefully
don't.
Hopefully I'm wrong. is it going to be one of those cases where this guy's like trying to claim a life insurance policy or something, and he's staged his own shooting because otherwise he won't get his family won't get a payout?
Interesting. So Joe does die. He is dead. So are you saying that he's maybe potentially done this so that there's a payout for his family?
Oh, is he not dead with the first shoot? Was he not dead at the shooting?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So I'm saying that he, at that shooting that occurred in the woods, Joe died.
Yeah.
And that you think there might have been an ulterior motive to that for him to get his family potentially to get a payout.
Yeah, because sometimes with like the police and stuff, I think there's like a death in the line of duty payout, or even if it's just like a life insurance. Because I read this like crazy story, we're going really off piste here. I read this crazy story once where like this guy in Florida, I don't know if this is true, by the way. I was going to say, do not quote me on this. This is exactly what we're doing. We record this whole thing. but I read about this case in Florida, supposedly, where a guy attached a gun to a helium balloon and shot himself. And then because, well, he died, sadly, but the gun then was carried away by the balloon. And it meant that it looked like he'd been shot and that his family could get the life insurance. Whereas if they did find out eventually, sadly.
The imagination. That's well thought out.
Yeah, kind of smart.
Yeah.
No one do that. No one do that at home.
Yeah, do not do that. Interesting. Okay, well, I shall continue.
Please do. I need to shut up.
No. Doubts surrounding Joe's murder began to swirl. And the FBI decided to investigate. According to the phone records, Joe was at the crime scene for nearly 30 minutes before he called for backup. This didn't add up. Nonetheless, the manhunt continued and it was open to the public to find the suspects. And this caught national attention for the case. Further suspicions rose when it seemed as though there were no physical signs of an altercation or defensive wounds found on Joe from the suspects, who overpowered Joe to steal his gun off him. Joe was a big dude. He was also in like the army reserves, and I will go on a little bit later to describe a bit more about who Joe is. But it would take a lot for someone to overpower him and then use his weapon on him.
It's starting to sound a little bit more like I could be right.
I'm not saying anything. 3 months later, the autopsy report was complete. It read that the first shot hit his lower abdomen and the bullet went through his mobile phone. A 4-inch by 4-inch bruise was found underneath it. However, this didn't penetrate the body. The second shot was fatal. The entrance wound was in the left upper chest. The death was ruled suicide, as the angle of the shotgun wounds were consistent to self-infliction. The distance away was arm's length. The physical wounds on his head were from him falling to the ground after shooting himself.
Wow.
So.
I should be a detective, I reckon. Am I actually right?
Yeah.
Am I actually right?
I'm not going to say why, but he did do it to himself. You were right on that side.
Interesting. Okay, so maybe I was half right and he did kill himself, but maybe I'm wrong on the motivation. Or maybe it was staged. But then equally, the police that came were there for a long time and it took them a long time to find his weapon.
That was odd. Yeah, I don't know why it took so long when it was only 3 feet away from him. But, I mean, you're trying to find, you know, you're in pursuit of these three individuals. You've just been told you've heard the second gunshot. And you go and find your colleague lay face down on the ground. I think there's probably, it took them, I think, 3 hours to find the weapon. But I think there's probably a lot of other stuff going through their mind.
Yeah. Super sad, by the way, that he committed suicide in that manner. Well, that, just that he committed suicide.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. The blood work showed that there was a high amount of caffeine in his system, but there was no signs of alcohol, prescription, or illegal drugs, even though they found cocaine in his desk at the station.
That's brave, having cocaine in your police drawer.
Yeah, I know, right? You're just so blasé. Mm. But it's interesting that there wasn't anything in his blood system. When the police found Joe, they checked for signs of life. However, Joe was already dead. They didn't perform any life-saving measures at this point because there was no pulse.
Mm. So sad.
Really sad, yeah. So, who was Lieutenant Joe? He gained his nickname, G.I. Joe, from his military haircut and his persona. He had many tattoos, he always had a cigarette hanging out his mouth, he was 5'11", 160 pounds, and was very muscly. For 2 years during high school, Joe attended Army and Military Academy, and later enlisted in the Army for 4 years. After this, he joined Fox Lake Police Department in 1985, as well as being a Army Reserve for 23 years. All his life, Joe had only ever worked for the Army and then this police unit. He was awarded many, many military medals during his service. 1 year into his police duties, he began assisting Fox Lake Police Explorer Post. And by the following year, he was running it. So this is like Explorer, Scouts, sort of like police cadets. So it's like more police cadets and scouts. So it's all young, teenage, youth kind of coming and doing training. And Joe actually worked really hard during this time and he taught the teens training for SWAT and sniper work as well.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. Especially after, you know, he only had joined the police department for 1 year before he was assisting with this, and then 1 year later, so only 2 years as being a police officer, he was running this whole sector.
So he was kind of training, even though he was pretty new to the whole thing himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I suppose his military background as well probably assisted with that.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. It wasn't like he came from something completely random.
Exactly. 2 years later, he married Melody, and he was with her until his death. They were married for 26 years, and they had 4 sons.
Wow, so, okay, interesting. That's a long time to be married.
So that's a long time, you know, 4 sons. So why did Joe commit suicide? And why was it staged to be a crime scene? I have a quote from George Filenko, the Lake County Major Crimes Task Force commander. He says, quote, "Let me put it this way. If I had known about the personnel file, and I was a parent, I certainly wouldn't put my child in the Explorer program under his tutelage."
Wow, okay, interesting. So there's something that Joe, G.I. Joe, has done through the years that has led to this person saying that they wouldn't send their child to take training from him, basically.
Yes, basically. So it kind of sets the tone, I guess.
Yes, it certainly begs the question, what was in his personnel file?
Mm. Joe battled with alcohol throughout his time at Lake County Police Department. There was one incident in May 1988 where he passed out in his truck with his foot on the pedal running full throttle on the hard shoulder of Illinois Highway Route 49. When the police arrived, the Lake County Sheriff's deputy couldn't wake him. The detective took Joe home and he sorted out the truck to be towed away. However, when Joe woke up the next day, he couldn't remember what had happened and actually reported his truck stolen. That's how little he remembered from the night before.
That's madness. Well, he was very blackout drunk.
It was reported that he drank 6 beers and several shots after playing volleyball and then decided to drive home. So, which isn't great. I mean, you don't drink and drive.
No, that's not on.
In August 1988, so only a few months later, he went to play volleyball again. He claimed that because he hadn't been drinking for a while, that he had become overwhelmed by a single beer and a shot. He didn't attend work the next day, and because of this, he was suspended for 2 days.
Wow. How long had he been not drinking?
The truck incident happened in May 1988, and then this happened in August 1988.
Oh, well, like
so
months.
Only a few months later.
That's how long I've not been drinking.
Yeah, so I don't
Maybe
think...
if I have one shot, I'll be off the chain too.
You'll be gone.
Yeah.
Between 1999 and 2000, he was demoted from commander to sergeant for consistently showing up late to work and an unspecified problems in the communications division, which he oversaw.
Okay, interesting.
It didn't really specify what that was. But yeah, so things aren't quite as rosy as they first appeared.
Intriguing. Okay, so there's a lot to his character that maybe wasn't so clear by the end.
Yeah, exactly. So investigation after his suicide showed that Joe had been embezzling thousands of dollars for at least 7 years from the Fox Lake Police Explorer program.
Wow.
So that Explorer program that he was running, he was using that to embezzle money.
Okay, he's doing some questionable things right now.
Yeah. He believed his time was up and that his crime was going to be exposed. A financial audit was supposed to take place during the time of his death, which he thought would show what he had done. So he made a plan. He approached a big-time gang member to kill Anne Marin, who was the administrator for the village.
Oh my god, I thought you were going to say his plan was him killing himself, not he's going to get someone else killed. Okay, I'm slowly losing a bit of sympathy for our protagonist here.
So Anne was supposed to be taking the financial audit, so he decided, well, what better way to sort my issue out is just to get rid of her. However, when the person that he had planned to basically make this assassination backed out, that's when he decided to stage his suicide to make it look like a crime scene to avoid embarrassment for what he had done.
Okay, so he still intended to kill himself, but he wanted to make it look like he hadn't killed himself so that people wouldn't look into this sort of thing.
He couldn't face the music, basically, when this financial audit was coming round and all of what he'd done with all the money was all going to be exposed and he couldn't cope with that. It was through this audit, which was completed after Joe's death, which it did discover that his embezzlement from the program that he oversaw, and there was also evidence that over 6,500 text messages from Joe confirmed his criminal activity, which included the plan to murder Anne Marin.
The only reason he didn't kill this auditor was because the person who was going to do the killing actually pulled out.
Yeah, exactly. So he wasn't going to do it himself.
Wow, that's... he's not such a great character.
It's not great. And it was only to hide what he had done as well. The money that he embezzled was used for items such as a holiday to Hawaii, restaurants, gym memberships, and pornography and adult websites. Yeah, so it wasn't even...
Quite a range.
Yeah, and like the list goes on, but it's all sort of superficial stuff. It isn't he was struggling to pay his mortgage, or he was in financial ruin, or, you know, it was all like luxury stuff, luxurious stuff.
Yeah, no, nothing needed, just all wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anne Marin spoke and said that she raised questions over his handling of the Explorer program, and that they didn't have access over the expenditure, which raised red flags. On the Monday, the day before he committed suicide, she asked for detailed information regarding the expenditure of the Explorer program. She emailed him at 5 p.m. on the Monday saying she hadn't received the information yet and when can I expect it? The next morning, he replied saying she will receive it about 1 or 2 p.m. However, before this, he committed suicide. After his death, there were more incidences that came to light. These included sexual harassment, alcohol abuse, abuse of the badge, and other suspensions. So it's not really painting a great picture.
No, I guess like you said, he couldn't face the music, so he probably knew a lot of this stuff would come out as a result of the audit, and he just took a way out.
Yeah, he was a shady character. Many organisations donated money for Joe's family after his death, which the majority demanded for it to be returned when the crimes were revealed.
Really? I mean, that's... I kind of get it, because at first they were donating because it was this like hero cop that died in the line of duty.
Fallen, yeah.
But even still, to like ask for it back, because that's still a family that lost a father, a husband.
Yeah.
It's quite surprising that they, yeah, ask for it back seems quite rogue, doesn't it?
I mean, he was painted this massive hero, and it did gain national attention. So I think that, you know, there were some big donations going their way, and yeah, they're like, oh, actually, can you give that back, please?
Sounds like an awkward conversation.
Definitely. Betrayal washed over the nation, with tributes for G.I. Joe being replaced with G.I. Joke.
That's good.
Which I read that, I was like, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty
funny. That's pretty funny, man.
Yeah. His name would not be added to the monument dedicated to fallen officers in the line of duty.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah. The first 3 weeks of the investigation into Joe's death cost taxpayers in 50 suburban jurisdictions more than $300,000. And nearly two-thirds of that, so technically $196,000 and $351,000, were used to pay for overtime and paying for some of the officers to attend Joe's funeral. So because he staged his suicide as a crime scene, taxpayers paid $300,000 for it.
That's a lot of money, isn't it? And there's no one to really hold accountable, I suppose.
Yeah, I just thought it was unbelievable.
Mm.
So did his wife know about his criminal activity? Melody claimed that her husband's death was murder. And she said, quote, "There were two shots. Somebody that's going to kill themselves are not going to shoot themselves twice." However, it was later revealed, as we've spoken about, that it was suicide, unfortunately.
Yeah, wasn't the first shot, there was like no penetration?
Yes, it went through his phone and into his bulletproof vest, leaving only a bruise. But that might have also been part of his cover-up, I guess.
Yeah, true.
Because, yeah, why would you shoot yourself twice?
Intriguing.
On the 27th of January 2016, Melody was charged with 4 counts of disbursing charitable funds without authority and for personal benefit, and 2 counts of money laundering, which she pled not guilty.
Oh dear, so Melody knew. Melody was in on it.
Supposedly, allegedly.
Oh, sorry, she's charged, not necessarily found guilty.
Yeah, so they're charged and she pled not guilty, but it's still sort of ongoing, but I'll tell you why.
Intriguing, okay.
On the 2nd of February 2016, 5 bank accounts were seized by the authorities as they believed that they carried embezzled funds. In June 2020, the judge ordered the text messages between Melody and Joe to be shown as admissible evidence. Melody was scheduled to go on trial in Lake County in November 2021. One of Joe's sons, Donald, who goes by DJ, was being investigated. There were text exchanges between Joe and DJ about loans and how Joe could evade the discovery of the unidentified expenses. It was dropped though because it couldn't be proven that DJ knew the money from his father had come from the police explorers. But the text messages were as follows in reference to Anne, the administrator, and who was completing the financial audit. Joe. She hates me. If she gets a hold of the old checking accounts, I'm pretty well fucked. DJ. Hopefully she gets a couple drinks in her and she gets a DUI. Joe. She does, but not around here. No one knows where. Trust me, I've thought it through many scenarios. Many scenarios being in caps lock. From planting things to Volo Bog. And it's thought that the mention of Volo Bog in that was a nod towards Chaino Lake, which was attached to Fox Lakes, which was used for getting rid of bodies. So, and like, many bodies were found in that area. So it sort of seemed as though, probably a dark joke, basically.
Based on his other actions, I guess it wasn't that much of a joke. It was quite an ominous threat.
Exactly, where, I mean, he did try to plan something. The final updates for this case, though. 2 men were arrested as suspects for Joe's death, and they have actually filed lawsuits. Anne Marin, who was fired from her administrator position, although not due to Joe's case, but because she used inappropriate language to her employees and trustees and for not following orders. But just interesting.
Wow, okay, that's unexpected. So even though she kind of was tenacious in this scenario, it sounds like she might have also been a bit of a dickhead.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, inappropriate language. I wonder what that could be. And finally, Melody is currently, right now, in her pre-trial. But the main trial has been pushed back and it will take place on the 22nd of February 2022. So we will keep you updated on any further news about this case and what comes out of it.
Absolutely.
But that is the case of G.I. Joe.
Oh, awesome. I'd never heard of that case before. I guess I was half right. I guess he actually committed suicide, but just for completely different reasons.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You definitely guessed that there was more suspicion surrounding his death than just him pursuing 3 individuals.
Yeah, it did seem a bit too general for it to be serious. But that's a really crazy case, actually, because he's gone to such extremes for his behaviour just to try and get away with something bad that he did.
He followed a dark path. But yeah, a really interesting one. I found that one interesting to search up.
Oh, it was certainly interesting to listen to, and I'm sure everyone listening at home will agree. So thanks for talking through it.
Thank you.
Do you want to share the socials, just in case anyone's got thoughts on G.I. Joe that they want to share?
Yeah, sure. So you can send in your personal true crime or paranormal stories to our website, actually. It's probably easier for you guys to put them in there. You can also do case suggestions as well. And our website is www.growingguiltypodcast.com. And you can follow us on our Instagram at Growing Guilty Podcast. We'll be sharing photographs and some more information about this case and other ones there. You can also follow us on Twitter at Growing Guilty. And if you would be so kind, you can review and share some stars and stuff. You can also do that on our website as well. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed this one and thank you for listening. And remember, we won't judge it.
Gore is your guilty pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. Bye.